joining us to talk about Steve McMichael, Mark Giangreco. Mark, good to hook up with you again. And we were talking earlier about Steve being such a loud, vocal, off-the-field character. It kind of overshadowed sometimes what he did on the field, which was really remarkable, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Good morning, my friend. A lot of grief, a lot of relief today. You know, when you get past the Ming the Merciless Mongo character, and I was privileged enough to get to know the real Steve McMichael, I think what really, you know, spawned our chemistry, that show was legendary on Sunday nights on Channel 5. It was so off the wall, out of control. I think maybe about 2 minutes total could have been shown today. It was so insane. But I remember I brought my young sons to practice one day at the old Hallis Hall, and Steve comes out and he goes, "Hey, those are your kids?" I said, "Yeah." He takes them in the locker room, signs footballs, wristbands, everything, jerseys, walks them around, introduces them to all the players, including Dent and Fridge and everything else. Comes out and he goes, "Wow, you got some great boys there. I never pegged you for a Family Guy." And I said, "I never pegged you for being Uncle Steve." And I think from that moment on, it was, one of those things where I'm always going to cherish our personal off-camera conversations we had, even though the ones on camera were just really nuts, you know?
Yeah, he was scary on the field and a lovable pussycat off the field, and he was scary on TV with you. That was must-see TV, Mark Giangreco, Sunday nights on Channel 5 with Steve McMichael. And this is what McMichael had to say about that. We had him on the radio about 10 years ago, and I asked him about the things he would do to you, Mark. Listen to this.
"I'm a fan of slapstick. I grew up watching The Three Stooges, so what do you think I would do to him?"
There was a lot of physical contact, a lot of hijinks, but everybody watched because we wondered what you were going to do next.
Yeah, exactly.
But eventually there was some trouble, wasn't there? Somebody didn't like it.
Yeah, the major network in New York thought I'd gone too far.
Imagine what exactly were they talking about?
You know, there were things that that stepped past of what the pale was back then.
Right.
But now, what I see on TV, I was lame.
Yeah, Mark, what was that a bit ever in danger of being canceled?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, we only lasted a year. I remember the general manager at the time, Pat Wallace, who was a big jerk and a bully. He really pushed for McMichael, and so did I, and things were spectacular. And then it started going off the rails a little bit, and he called me in and said, "You're going to have to tame this 1,000-pound gorilla." I said, "No way. This is what you wanted. This is what we all wanted." And back then, you know, the ratings wars were so intense. We're going up against Ditka, Peyton, and McMahon on Channel 7 and Channel 2, and we're beating them in the ratings. But then, you know, they said, "Well, we're going to have to dial it back and harness him a little bit." And then eventually, there was an incident. There was a show where they said, "Well, that's it." But, that's television management. But we made the most of it as long as it lasted. And, I was out to dinner with the great Bob Vorwald last night, who produced all those shows, and we toasted Mongo and reminisced. And then I came home, and I watched like three or four shows from 1991. And I was up all night, and I hadn't seen them in 30 years. And I just have to say this. They were pretty good. They were really great.
Oh, yeah.
And, I'm usually so critical of myself, but I'm like, wow, this stuff was awesome. And it was just an honor and a privilege to be able to go on that ride with him, really.
Hey, Mark, it was must-watch television. I'm sure I remember watching those shows back in the 90s as well. But, we talked a little bit about the personality maybe getting in the way or maybe overshadowing him as a player. But he knew his football, didn't he?
Oh, he sure did, Andy. Great to talk to you. It's been a while. It still bothers me and bothers so many people that, he didn't get in the Hall of Fame until he was basically incapacitated. Should have been in many, many years ago. His stats were better than Howie Long's. Many of John Randall and Warren Sapp's stats paled in comparison to him. I think maybe his personality held him back a little bit with all the voters. he was one of the toughest guys ever to play in the NFL. He always played injured. He was a multi-sport star in high school. Remember, he also kicked. He used to kick field goals in practice all the time. And I remember Bob Thomas was injured one game. He kicked off. He was truly amazing, great hand-eye coordination. But the thing that struck me most is he was a really well-read, smart, witty, clever guy. And a lot of stuff he said, he was so quick with it, I think it went over some people's heads back then. You know,
yeah.
he was always there to stun people. Him going into wrestling after football was such a natural. He was such an incredible showman and still a great athlete. But, you know, we had a brief conversation about that. You know, he did 5 years with the WCW or the WWF. And the most intimidating guy in the world was actually intimidated by that lifestyle a little bit. And I don't think those were his most fun years, let me put it that way.
Yeah, so interesting, his kind of dual personality. So when you'd get off the set, off the air, after those Sunday night encounters, would he immediately say something like, well, we gave him a good show, and then go back to being the other Steve McMichael?
Well, actually, Bob, he was pretty intoxicated for every show.
Okay.
He brought in his... I hope I can say this. He called his group the Kotex Mafia. It was his first wife, Deborah, and her friends, and his mother would show up. She had the foulest mouth, worse than Steve. And these were all these characters who would watch the show. He came in after one show and smashed his head through the wall in my office and flipped over a desk and... he was just not only in character, but intoxicated. But back then, you know, he could handle it. It was cool. It was great. It was unbelievable television. And I've just been watching all these clips. It was on the WGN morning show today and all over YouTube of when he, you know, was smashing pies in each other's faces, cut off my tie, shave cream. He actually brought in a chainsaw once and rigged it with red Kool-Aid where it would fire up with blue smoke and Kool-Aid would shoot out as he put it on my neck. But, of course, the chain didn't move. I mean, he really thought these things through, you know. Then he'd bring other players on to put me in a chokehold. I almost passed out. It was... completely out of control.
And the nerve of the general manager to think this did not belong on Channel 5. Is this all on YouTube someplace? Because this will be the new number one. It'll be better than the cat videos if people can
see
this.
Absolutely. It's all over the place. It's being posted on, you know, Twitter and Instagram. And, just go to YouTube. You can call up any show during 1991. The first one I saw, it was Saints-Bears. I believe it was October of 91. They're in New Orleans. And Tom Waddle catches the game-winning touchdown pass, and Mongo has two sacks and a tipped ball. And, you know, you get emotional watching this stuff.
Yeah,
it was
for sure.
You know, I was just so honored to just be along for that ride.
Well, Mark, let me tell you something. If you ever get bored with the good life after TV, we have fun here on the radio. You just have to get up early. That's the only problem.
I appreciate that, Bob. You know, I'm going to give it some thought, buddy. And by the way, lunch soon. It's your turn. Quit dodging.
Yeah, I'm all in. We'll get our buddy Ron Majors, and, you know what? We'll make him pay now that I think about it. Mark Giangreco.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks,
appreciate
guys.
That. You got up for us, and I love those stories. Be well.
Thank you, too.